Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Comic Chronicle Podcast. I'm your host, Dakota Morgan, coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona. Today I have on a returning guest, one who hasn't been here in a couple of years, but Clay McCormick, co-writer on a few different things, Batman, White Knight, The Red Hood, recently Generation Joker in the White Knight universe, and right now, writing Hard Style Jukes, a wrestling comic that if you're not going to read this, you should, because it's I've read the first couple of issues. It's so good. It is out right now, actually, too. It's past the announcement day. We can get it on Comixology right now. Folks, do not sleep on this comic. Clay and I talk about a bit of wrestling, to say the least, here, too. So we talk about wrestling, the Shakespearean version of it, wrestling and comics, you know, writing. We also talk about him and Generation Joker and writing their unique version of Joker. And we talk, you find out a little bit of things about your host this episode, too. And we, a little bit about, like, why we write, and as writers write, and just a whole lot of like why we're entertained by wrestling, and it just I don't want to spoil anything. If you guys want to, I would greatly appreciate it. If would you kindly, a little BioShock reference there, would you kindly go ahead and subscribe to wherever you're listening to this podcast on, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, comicchronicle.podbean.com, hell, even if it's YouTube, the YouTube page of Dakota Morgan, or whatever third party app you guys are using on our radio. We're on there now, and whatever it is, just give a subscribe, leave a review. It helps out the podcast greatly. Share it around with your friends and family. So send them down and say, like, you need to listen to this. It helps us out. You want more laid-back conversations, by the way? I got 7 years of interviews for you guys. 7 years. Also, too, if you guys want to catch the Comic Chronicle podcast video game playthroughs, we're on Twitch, CodaRex97. That's CodaRex97, as well as other video games that I do play as well. And you can check all those out later on Dakota Morgan YouTube page, and Instagram, and X, Twitter, whatever the hell it is nowadays, at Dakota Morgan 3 on Twitter, and Instagram at Dakota_Morgan97. Follow along with all the adventures I do with nature, writing, and all the stuff. Without further ado, though, I'm going to stop my rambling, and let's dive into my talk with Clay.
Hello.
Hey, Clay. How you doing, man?
Good. Yourself?
Doing good. I always love that, like, immediate just Zoom video where it just pops up and just scares the hell out of you. Just like, oh, my God.
I know. They should give you some sort of, like, intro animation or something.
That would be amazing, instead of just being like, especially if you have a bigger monitor. I'm going to turn on brightness. Yeah, that would just be terrifying. There we go. Well, welcome, man. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I see you're repping Ghostbusters right now. Did you see the new movie?
I have. Yes.
What did you think about it?
I liked it. I had a good time. I don't think I liked it as much as Afterlife.
Really?
It was a little bit all over the place for me.
Okay.
But I thought it was good. I thought it was a fun time.
Awesome. Okay. I still got to see it. It's the wife and I only get a certain amount of time in a week. And so we're like, okay, Godzilla's out this weekend. And top of Ghostbusters is out. Like, what do we choose? Like, we can only choose one. So we have you here today. So you have a few things coming out. I was able to read it, by the way, and it was really good.
Oh, excellent. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, of course. I was reading it during lunch break the other day at work. And so I was like, hey, this is honestly, man, like, can we talk about it? Like, what can we talk about it? What can we say?
Well, as long as this podcast doesn't come out until after April 4th, we can talk about whatever you want.
All right. It is true. That is coming out. It is coming out after April 4th. So good news for you is it's all on the table. So, like, where did this idea come from for it all? Like, what was, like, the big, huge thing with it? Like, what? I mean, you're a great writer, might I say, too. Not just to, like, milk the tea or anything like that. I just got to say, like, we've had you on before because we talked about Red Hood last time you were on, and which feels like a long time ago now.
It does. It does feel like a long time ago, yeah.
Ugh. But now you have this new book coming out, and then tell people what it is. Kind of dive into it, man.
Well, it's called Hard Style Juice, and it is succinctly put, I guess it's a pro wrestling murder mystery, and it's about a family of wrestlers who's there's the patriarch, who's the guy who used to be a wrestler who's now running his own promotion and kind of trying to hold on to whatever glory he can have left. There's the son, who's the superstar on his way up, you know, getting too big for his father's local promotion kind of thing. And then there's the daughter, who is part of the family, loves her family, but maybe wrestling isn't her her goal in life. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's an in-ring tragedy that shakes up the entire thing, and then it becomes a bit of a murder mystery where the daughter has to kind of she thinks it's a murder. Everyone's telling her it's an accident, and so she has to kind of work through her own grief by tracking down who may or may not have caused this event.
And it's cool because I think there's this big, it's not talked about enough. There's this big connection between comic fans and wrestling. And
yeah,
it's huge.
There's a huge, it's one of those things where I have always felt like I have been ahead of the wave in my mind, but by the time I get something out, the wave has already passed me. And so, I was in high school in the late 90s, early 2000s, I was working on like a zombie comic. And then by the time I actually started doing it, like I had the ability and the skill to do it, it was like the genre was over at that point.
But it was season 7 of The Walking Dead, is what you're telling me.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
But this was something where, like, you know, I'm a big pro wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of been seeing the last few years that it's kind of coming back into the zeitgeist a little bit more. And I had been wanting to do a wrestling comic for a long time, but I hadn't really quite pinned down what the story was going to be. And then a friend of mine, Ricardo Lopez Ortiz, who's the artist on Heartstyle Juice, he did this drawing for a sketchbook he was putting out that was of this beat up Joshi wrestler. Joshi, sorry, I throw around these terms that people might not know. Joshi is female Japanese wrestlers. And he did this drawing of this beat up, like, Joshi deathmatch wrestler where she's, you know, all bloody. She's got this big boxing glove with thumbtacks all over it. And she's got like a cigarette hanging out of her mouth. And the second I looked at that drawing, the entire story just went right into my head. And I called him up and I was like, listen, I've got this idea. Do you want to do it? And he was like, absolutely. And so it took us about, from that point, maybe 3 or 4 years to get it off the ground due to scheduling and stuff like that. You know, we each all had other things we wanted to do, and were doing. But finally, a couple years ago, Comixology Originals took a chance on us, and it's going to be coming out. The announcement happens on the 4th, and the actual book comes out on the 16th.
Cool. Yeah, this episode is definitely coming out past the 4th, by the way. I mean, I can tell you, we're looking at probably, yeah, definitely, like, this episode comes out on like the 8th or the 9th. So yeah, we're definitely, yeah, it comes out then. Yeah.
No spoilers about the book, but we can talk about it.
Yes. And here's the thing too, like, podcasts have recently have done that. I've seen a lot where they're like, we just spoil the whole book. I'm like, why? What is the point? Like, what the fuck? Like, I want to read it still. Talk about it. Like, give me at least a few. There's a few podcasts I listen to that are comic themed. And shockingly, I know it's kind of feels like I'm cheating on my own self, but you know,
it's just research.
Yeah, exactly. There we go.
Industry research. That's
exactly
how I put all the things I pay for on my taxes.
This is I'm gonna claim this real quickly here. Like, are you sure? No, a tax expense. It's an expense. I swear to God.
Oh, yeah.
Netflix. I swear.
Keep telling my girlfriend, don't worry. All these toys are tax write offs. And she's like, well, we need to write off a bigger house then.
I wish that would work. Oh, I wish that would work. Like, what do you have all this porn subscription for? Tax write off. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Research.
Hey, man, you might just need to. You just got to change your industry to make that one count.
It's possible. It's this day and age, but that's a whole medium thing too. It's like, we don't want to talk about spoilers and whatnot too. But so you saw this one picture, and I think I kind of want to talk about that a little bit there, because as writers, like, sure, we do have those moments where we see one thing and a whole world clicks. And I don't think people ever talk about it. People are like, oh, it's, you watched the movie, or you saw, you know, like, The Stain, and you said, or like, oh, this event happened, and he's, or it's just like long process of years. But sometimes you just literally look at a picture and it's there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was really interesting, because that doesn't always happen to me. You know, all these things always start as like a germ of an idea. It's like, oh, it would be interesting if blank, or, you know, what would happen if X, and you kind of build it from there. And yeah, it was just wild, because I just looking at this one picture, I guess, you know, it's funny talking about this, right? Because you read the first two issues.
Yep.
And when talking about the first issue, there's a part of me that wants to play it incredibly close to the vest because of the way the book is kind of structured. But at the same time, it's like, well, once you say murder mystery, you know, somebody's going to die. So it's like, well, I guess when you're trying to advertise the book and like the decide what to tell. And so it doesn't matter. I can say what's going on. When I saw that drawing, I started thinking about like, oh, you know, this wrestler, maybe she comes from a pro wrestling family, and maybe she's the younger daughter, and that, you know, she ends up in the ring because someone in her family had died, and blah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it just all just came right out. And honestly, from the original pitch that I came up with shortly after that, not much has really changed.
Oh, so you stuck to the guns. You really went for it. I like that.
Yeah, it's I felt like the core idea was strong enough that, you know, kind of trusting that and sticking to it has kind of been the driving force the whole time. So it's, you know, you've got a fairly kind of classic story about the it's kind of like it's picture The Godfather, right? Where it's, mm-hmm. instead of organized crime, the Corleone family loves professional wrestling.
And which so is still a thing, by the way. We should clear that is still a crime thing. That is still a big thing. And yeah, like Daredevil's dad died because of boxing, you know, like,
right.
And it's not wrestling, right. But it's still, there's still a lot in it. The radio show was joking around recently with the whole, because of basketball, it's March Madness right now. The radio was joking around. They're like, you know, you better watch out for Italian friends during this one when you bet with your Italian friends. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, you know, so I started thinking, I actually didn't make the Godfather connection until recently when I was thinking about it, but it's like, imagine Michael Corleone, instead of trying to move away from his crime family, it's this girl trying to move away from her wrestling family, mm-hmm. and ends up getting pulled back in,
yeah,
and using her new position to deal with her grief over the death of a family member.
Is wrestling something that you're thinking that you wanted to write about? It's always been something you wanted to write about, or has it been something that you were like, it just came from that idea you clicked?
I've always wanted to do a wrestling book. I've been a fan for a long time, but when I was a kid, I was really into it. And then I kind of fell off around like high school and college, as you know, we all tend to do. And then I came back to it about 10 years ago. Mm. It's funny. One of those things where it's like, you feel like you're an adult now. I never ordered WrestleMania when I was a kid, because it's a pay-per-view. And it's like $50, and talking your parents into ordering a pay-per-view is not easy. And then a friend of mine he was on Jeopardy.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I know. It's a strange turn. He won Jeopardy.
Oh, shit.
He won one he won one episode of Jeopardy. And he had two things he wanted to do with his money, one of which was go on a big vacation with his wife. And the second was to order WrestleMania on pay-per-view. And so we ordered WrestleMania, and we came in. It was the first thing that I had watched in years, and it hooked me right back in. It actually hooked my girlfriend, who wasn't really a wrestling fan. So we've been into it ever since. But since I had gotten back into it, I've been thinking about it more as far as storytelling goes. Mm-hmm. And I, being someone who is in the trenches sounds bad, but or negative, but like, who is a working comic artist who's doing conventions and and all this kind of stuff. You see the similarities between the two industries as far as how these guys are all freelancers, and they're all, you know, every wrestling show is basically a small convention where in between matches, these guys are trying to sell stuff to make a couple bucks. And I started putting these things together because I kind of identified with it a little bit. And just the idea of the really thin line between reality and fiction in wrestling is what got me at first. But I couldn't quite synthesize it into something I was excited about until this thing came along, and I was like, okay, I think I know where we're going here.
I like that. That's honestly, it's a great story to go with it, because you're like, I fell out, I'm here, I'm doing this. Thank God for Jeopardy, because without Jeopardy, you wouldn't be writing this book almost in a way.
I know. thank them in the omnibus edition.
You know what? When your friend won, by the way, and he's like, "Yeah, I got the pay per view. We're gonna do it." I'm making that dude pay for snacks. He is buying all the beers. You're buying all the food, buddy. You're getting the wings. I gotta say too, kind of similar with that. I went to a TNA match once in Universal Universal Orlando. I was there with family. I was like a little kid. I was like, "This seems cool." Like I used to play the old WWE, the old PS1 video games. My godfather and I used to play them all the time. Any wrestling games, we had them. It was great. That's a throwback. If you ever look at old pictures of those video games, you kind of feel old.
Yeah, four or five pixels punching each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're like, how? How could you figure this out? And I kind of fell out by TNA. When I went to TNA, it was great. We got in for free. Their Universal was like, "Hey, nice. We have extra seats. You want to come in?" So we sat behind the Latino broadcasting, so we had no idea what the people were saying there, but like the English guys were all over there. Great time. I loved it.
Oh, it's excellent.
Yeah, yeah. And then
the other thing, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, like, it transferred later. Like I follow it, I keep track of everything going on, and then I watch sometimes, like I watch clips, and I'm like, okay, because I don't have cable, I don't, and so like I can do what I have to do. And I went to a couple years ago. We had a wrestling. It was a wrestling match, and we had parties. Like an old network I used to be a part of. Like everyone would come down. Like we got wings. You'd bring your food. It was bring beer. Like whatever it might be. Those were a blast. You know, we'd stay up superbly late, and it was like we're watching all the stuff go down, and we had it pre-recorded. But it was like, this is fun. Like this is great. Like this is better than a movie night with friends, because like this is our rule is like turn off your phones. Like, no notifications or nothing like that. But I think somebody bought like 60 chicken nuggets one time. So we just get there. And I'm like, I walk in with like bags of candy and I'm like, "All right, boys." And I think I have like some Corona. And so I'm just sitting there like, "Let's do it." And then I walk in, I'm like, "What the fuck?" And there's like five bags of just chicken nuggets just spewed upon this table. I'm like, "This is great." And like, we're cheering. We're like, "Yeah." Like,
Yeah.
It's so fun. Well, it's so fun.
It's become this kind of thing where, you know, I don't want to be that guy who like forces the things he likes on people, but I feel like professional wrestling tends to get a bad rap still for reasons it may or may not deserve. Let's put it that way. And, but usually I do the same thing. We'll have parties basically for the big pay-per-views. Like we usually do SummerSlam, WrestleMania, and Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble being the most fun because we do like a numbers game.
Oh.
Everybody picks a number, and if your guy wins, you win a bunch of scratch tickets or something. But I always encourage people to come, even if they've never watched it before, because I've seen it. I've seen people kind of go, "Eh, I don't really know." And then they watch it and they get into it and then they get it. You know, like they've never watched it before. Like I remember I had a friend over who I had. Who was in? She had been out of the country for a long time, and then she was back. And then they were kind of looking for something to do, so they came over to watch wrestling. And about like three matches in, I think it was WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So the spectacle is as big as possible. And at a certain point, she stopped and she went, "Oh, this is like RuPaul's Drag Race, but they punch each other." And I was like, "Yeah, exactly. Like if that's what it takes, perfect. Like There's an element of it that I think gets overlooked because it seems so aggro and weird, mm-hmm. and it's just a bunch of people fake fighting, quote unquote. But it is really, there's a theatricality to it. The thing that really got me was the amount of trust that's involved, because you're kind of, every wrestling match is kind of an improv scene, mm-hmm. but it's an improv scene where if you screw up the scene, you could die, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
And as these the new wrestlers that are coming out are all so incredibly athletic, and it really is quite a thing to see. And I had never really gone to independent shows until like we got back into it, and that we had seen a couple things around us. We were like, "Well, let's go check it out, see what's going on." And the independent stuff was the stuff that really hooked me, and that was what really made the connection with comics to me, because those are the guys and girls who are in it the way that the people who are doing conventions every month are in it, trying to publish their own books and all this, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's been really fun the last handful of years to be able to see people that we saw scraping to get by in the independent scene 6 or 7 years ago are now the biggest names in the biggest companies. It's really fun to see.
Hey guys, Dakota here, coming at you with a little ad break and ways that you can actually help support the show. Maybe asking, how can the hell can you do this? Well, how you can do it is by going into the description for this episode, wherever you guys are listening, and clicking the link on there for Redbubble. That's right, folks, we have the store, and we used to have it and promote it a little bit more, but it's coming back now, folks. The Redbubble store for the Comic Chronicle podcast. Go to the link down below to support. You can get the Comic Chronicle logo, and as well as other logos I have created for the show, and for you to wear on bags. Bags, shirts, sweaters, all stickers, magnets, all the stuff like that. You have Blockbuster Kid, Vigilante in Training, the podcast logo, and much more. So if you guys want to help support the show, go on over. Everything is 25% off for this year. We are doing that, guys, bringing it back for you and giving you guys a discount. So be sure to go over there, check it out, help support the show, and have some pretty good stuff. And now back to the show.
Yeah, I mean, you see these people's evolution, and you know it's a lot of work. And like, it's so much work to do it. And to see, I think it's like, it's your team. Like, it's your sports team. It's your, you know, it's your hero. It's your icon. It's your, you know, some, whatever it might be. Like, seeing, I think that ties into a lot of, there's so much to unpack your psychology with it. Of like, you want to be there to support them. Like, you want to be there to be like, hey, I want to see the evolution and the growth. Because then that makes yourself do the evolution and the growth. So it's a whole thing of that. And to see it, it's just cool. It's so fun and cool. It's like this, like the, I hate just using those short words for it, but it's true.
Yeah. And you know, I wanted to set the book in the independent scene because I think it's very easy to look at the big spectacle of the high end professional wrestling stuff and use that as like a it's very easy to adapt that to like huge dramatic stakes and themes and stuff like that. There's a book, I don't mean this in a negative way, obviously. There's a book that came out last year, the year before, called The Crimson Cage, I believe.
Okay.
That a friend of mine drew. It was a professional wrestling. It was Macbeth, but it was professional wrestling in the 80s. So it was like, you know, the king character was essentially Ric Flair and that kind of thing, where it fits to the big Shakespearean drama of it all.
Yeah.
The big stuff. But what fascinated me was I wanted to put it in the independent world because that stuff is so insular and kind of like grittier. And it is really about people and families who are keeping the stuff alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and without the people and the families, like, there's no support to it, and you have to really, they're so, you did very well, Clay, in choosing a wrestling book, because there's so much to tell with these stories. Like, there's just so much. Like, we could spend like 2 hours talking about this stuff, to be honest. Like, there's so much to it, and
sure, yeah,
like, there's this, you're like, no, I don't want to see, like, I got shit I gotta do.
Honestly, I mean, you're the first person and I've talked to about it, so.
Oh, really?
Anything you want to talk about, let's get into it.
Oh shit, oh, I love that. All right, cool. It's honestly just like being able to sit there with it, because there's so many avenues to go down with a book like this. There was one when you were mentioning that, there was one, it made me think about it. I think it was 4 years ago at this point. Time is meaningless at this point. It was 4 years ago. I was able to get early access to this wrestling comic. I don't think it ever came out. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it had to do with like an interstellar wrestling ring. Does that sound familiar?
Oh, yeah. I think that's probably Do a Powerbomb from Daniel Warren Johnson.
I don't think that was it, because this was indie people.
Oh, maybe not. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
This
I was going to say that book definitely came out.
No, it's not that one. It was something totally different, because it was an indie company who reached out to me and was like, we want to do this. Can you review it? And I reviewed it and edited it for him. And I was like, yeah, sure. I didn't even take credit. I was just like, all right, yeah, I'll take a look at it and crack.
Yeah.
And see what they're like. You write comics. Like, yeah, no problem. Did that and took a look. And it was cool. And it was really fun. Like, it's doing it in space is awesome. Like, wrestling, you could do it in space. You could do it, like, whenever. And it's just, as you put it, Shakespearean. There is a Shakespearean kind of thing to it. And I think a lot of people don't ever look upon it.
Yeah, yeah. It really is adaptable to a lot of different scenarios. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I wanted to do with this one is one of the things that fascinates me about wrestling is how it is such a niche community in and of itself that even has its own language. You know, there's all sorts of words into it. Like Heartstyle Juice, the name of the book. It's one of those things where I tell people what the name of it and they kind of give me like a weird look. And I'm like, yeah, so it's what it is heart. The term Heartstyle Juice is sort of wrestling talk for when you get cut open by accident instead of like using a knife to cut yourself.
Yeah.
It's like called getting busted open the hard way. And that sort of stuff really fascinates me too, that there is this little community that kind of has their own language that they use. I try to put it in, intersperse it a bit in the book, but you always have to tread lightly doing that stuff, because if you're not part of that universe and you start throwing around these terms, it can come off very fake very quickly.
Yeah, you don't want to seem like a fake fan. You don't want to seem like, oh, I know what I'm talking about. And it's like, and you don't want to seem like you're trying too hard.
Yeah, the famous term to come out of professional wrestling is the term kayfabe, which is the term that they use for the entire facade of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it into the script once, and I said to my editor, I was like, this feels weird to use this unironically, so I don't think we should use this word. She was like, yeah, I agree. So we don't use that word at all.
Nice.
But there's lots of conversational things that make it very unique, because as much as comics is its own niche, we don't really have that much of like a shared language. Maybe we do a little bit. Maybe I don't know. And if you're an outsider, it sounds like we're talking gibberish. I don't know, but.
But that's every fandom.
That sort of niche community, this sort of world that exists in a very specific space is what fascinated me. And my approach to it originally was I wanted to do it kind of like Twin Peaks, where the death of a single person opens up a door into this entire community that you didn't know existed.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where the starting point was for everything. And that's why I wanted to keep it more indie. So it's people, they're relatable to each other, and you're just trying to see these people live their lives. And also, it's an over-the-top, you know, punch fest. So it's a little bit of both, which is what wrestling is.
Which, by the way, also looks great. I have to say, the art really threw me. When I clicked on
Ricardo's unbelievable.
I clicked on it, and I was like, all right, I know Clay's writing. This is going to be great. This is going to be awesome. And I opened it up, and I was just like, holy shit. Like, you're really like, this is great. You guys are, and I think too, like I say every episode on the show, like your guys' team is fantastic. Like, it's always a team effort for these books, for any comic book.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's, I mean, shit, the amount of people think for the ones I write, then, you know, with them coming out later this year, and we've been teasing them, people are like, oh, you do all the work. And I'm like, no, there's a lot of people behind here. Like, here's a credits page, and there's five people on here alone. And it's like, not alone. Like, there's so many people. But do you have an end goal, by the way, too? Is it one of those, because it being indie, you know, and your own thing, like, do you have like an end part of your storyline, or is it like, we want to keep going?
I will say, I don't want to, so I had always envisioned it as something that keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I want to shout out Ricardo, but also Heather Moore, who's our colorist, who is absolutely demolishing this book. Like, this is one of those things. It's always a pleasure when you get back art when you're just the writer, and you go, yeah, that's better than I ever thought it could be. Like,
yes,
they're doing things that I didn't even consider.
Yes, absolutely.
The way in the first issue specifically, the way Heather changes her coloring scheme to intensify things as the action gets intensified. It's excellent. But I had always thought of it. I wanted it to be kind of like a throwback to a traditional kind of episodic comic, where the thing I had in my mind a lot was the old Incredible Hulk TV show.
Ooh.
Where it's like every episode, David Banner blows into town and solves some thing that's going on where he also happens to be the Incredible Hulk for like 5 minutes. But it's like he's the Incredible Hulk and the X-Files, because I was thinking about Mulder's search for his sister, and the way that the X-Files is structured, where it's like, oh, well, some episodes are very specifically about Mulder trying to find his sister. Other episodes are just monster of the week type things. But the backbone is his search for his sister. So you can just, that engine can keep things running. So that's always been my, that's a long way of me saying you're not going to find out the answer to that mystery at the end of the series.
I like that. I like that. It's a good answer too, though.
If I've done my job correctly, you should find a satisfying ending in the first five issues that we're doing here. Mm-hmm. That is the answer to another question that's brought up that is not necessarily the overarching question, but will lead you into possible future stories. I don't know if those future stories are ever going to happen, honestly, because mm-hmm. who knows? We don't know if we're going to do any more. But if we do, there's avenues to do it.
Clay, you're such a fucking tease. See, you're such a tease. You're just like, well, it could be.
Much like professional wrestling, promotion is the name of the game.
Oh, yeah, true. It is true. You gotta do it. And man, and you guys, this is going on Comixology, right?
Yep, it'll be digital first, starting on April 16th, and then I think it comes out in hard copy from Dark Horse. I can't remember something. Either 6 months or a year later, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. Print always takes forever. Yeah. But that's cool, though. So, you're doing a digital in there. So, we do got to talk about it. I don't want to take too much of your time today, man. We do got to talk about it. You had a recent book come out, though. You've had a Generation Joker thing come out?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. A trade for Generation Joker, I don't think it's out yet. I think that all it might actually come out the same day as Hardstyle Juice.
That's a good day for you.
I got to write six issues of Generation Joker with Sean Murphy and Katana Collins, which was fun because it was a little kind of pocket of the White Knight universe with the Joker's two kids that we got to play around with, and we did a sort of like like an 80s road movie kind of, or the Goonies, where it's two kids on an adventure trying to, you know, get into hijinks and save their dad.
Which is like fun. And I love the universe you guys have done on that one. Cause you did the Red Hood in the White Knight universe too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I remember talking to you about that. So like, did they give you that call and say, hey man, you did this. So do you want to come play again in the sandbox?
Well, you know, it's Sean makes the calls for who's going to do what. And when this Generation Joker was going to be the last thing he did in the universe for a while. And I had written Red Hood and Katana had written Harley Quinn. And so when it came to do this, instead of looking elsewhere, he, you know, decided to keep it in the family, so to speak, and asked if the two of us wanted to jam on it, which I thought we did it. It was the first time that I had really written collaboratively with someone before.
Okay.
And I thought we clicked really quickly, and I thought we managed to find a good rhythm to it.
I like it, man. I like it. Is there anything you want to tease about that at all? I mean, if I remember right, some of this has been out, but is there anything you want to talk about that at all?
I'd be interested to see how people enjoy it as a full trade instead of issue to issue. Because it is, comics is a weird medium, right? Because technically, you need to make a book that works two ways, once with a month gap in between and once when everybody reads it as a single book. You know?
Yeah.
I guess it's not that different than like television, but.
But it's still a talent.
It's something you got to get used to, you know.
Yep.
You have to. The one thing I learned about comics when I was really first getting into making them is you have to be hooking people down to essentially every page that you write. You know, ideally every page should have a little cliffhanger on it that encourages you to move to the next page, you know, and that extends to issues and to larger things and extrapolates outward. But we did some crazy shit in that book. Like we were just kind of like throwing a lot of stuff at the wall because, you know, it's a different tone than Sean's normal book because it's a little bit more. What's the word I'm looking for? It's two kids on a. The Joker's kids steal a Batmobile and go on a road trip with their father. And so if that's your starting point, you know it's going to be a little bit more
wild. And you guys are Black Label too. So like you have free reign. Like you were just like, here you go. Have fun.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, blessing and a curse, I guess, because you start off and it's like, oh, we can do whatever we want. Okay, what if we do a robot that has Two-Face's brain in it? It's like, all right, yeah, sure, let's do that. Why not? Let's throw that in there.
That'd be fun.
There was some stuff that I in there that I really enjoyed because that takes place at the furthest most point in Sean's White Knight universe. Yeah. And it's about the Joker kind of trying to reconcile the person he wants to be for his kids with the person he was as the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically he's trying to show his kids that he's more than just a maniac by bringing them, his intention anyway, is to do that by bringing them to these different places that he are important to him. But that gets sidetracked very quickly. But what ends up happening is the kids end up going to these places that are very important to the Joker's history, but they're not going there because he's taking them there. They're going there because they're being pulled there by the consequences of everything the Joker did when he was alive. So, you know, you end up at the club where, in the first issue, we end up at the club where Harley and Jack Napier meet for the first time. But it's been 30 years or something. And so that club has been turned into a children's puppet show theater.
As a club usually does.
as you do. And Gotham, that's par for the course in Gotham City.
Oh, that's true.
And it turns out it's run by the daughter of the ventriloquist, who is pissed off at the Joker because the Joker killed her father back in the first White Knight volume.
Yeah, that's true.
Back in Curse of the White Knight, when Azrael killed everybody, but at the behest of the Joker. And so now she's going after the kids, and then they end up at Axis Chemicals. They end up at Arkham Asylum and all these places that maybe the Joker doesn't want them to go. But they're learning about who their father really was by the consequences of the things that he did when he was alive.
Such a beautiful story. Like, it's how is it writing Joker, by the way? Because, like, I've talked to a lot of people over the years, but, like, no one's ever, like, tackled that character alone. Like, what was it like writing Joker?
Well, Sean's Joker, Jack Napier, is a very different character than the one who's in the main continuity because first of all, he's dead. And he's a hologram at this point.
Yeah,
he's a version of the Joker who is reformed and is trying to grapple with the things that he did when he was this maniac, and that creates a very unique character for the Joker that I don't think has ever really gotten that much play.
No, not at all.
And you know, as we were getting into it, I was trying to think of, like, all right, what do you do here with this character? Because you don't want to just have it be Jack Napier taking his kids to these places and being like, well, this is where I met your mom, and this is where I had my first, you know, croissant, or these places that are kind of like, yeah, what are we really getting out of this other than him kind of patting himself on the back for the person that he wants to be? And so the only thing I could think of is, well, you know, this is the Joker trying to clear the slate for himself, his own conscience. So in order to do that, we need to have them encounter as many horrible things he's done as possible.
Yeah. Which is a lot. You got a lot of good work with there.
Right. Yeah. So because if you're trying to tell your kids who you are, who you really are, if you're being honest with yourself, you got to show them everything. And so sure, he shows the things he likes, like where he and Harley met. But, you know, in order to do this, the kids are going to have to see Axis Chemicals, where he gets turned into the Joker. They're going to have to see the Joker gang, who have turned him into this kind of deity and are doing crimes in his name. You're going to have to see. Well, the Two-Face thing is not a joke. That actually is in the book. I won't explain why, but you'll have to read the book to find out.
Yeah, I'd like you're just like, yeah, we did that.
Yeah. Well, laughing. No, that was a pitch I made fairly early on, and I'm kind of frankly shocked that it made it all the way into the book. But
that's amazing.
It's one of my favorite parts of the book. That and the ventriloquist daughter part, I think, because the ventriloquist daughter is the idea there was what if the ventriloquist daughter ran what was the head of a gang of basically murderous Avenue Q puppets. And so you've got this sequence where it's a bunch of people in black with their puppets that all have knives that are the Ventriloquist gang. So
I wanted to see that.
It's a
happen.
Silly book.
I want to see the animation of that, man. I want to see that in a cartoon. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Too. Yeah, yeah. You're like, yeah, get residuals. See, yeah, absolutely. Oh man, like that. Oh, it's those silly books are fun. Like when you do the serious books and you do the silly books, like it's just fun. Like I got a couple of my series, a couple of them are serious, a couple of them are silly. Like we're just, it's just having a blast. You know, we get to make fun. We get to be creative, and it's whether it's wrestling, whether it's kind of like DC or Marvel or anything like that too. You get to like create characters. You get to add to characters, and I think that's why we do what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, with Generation Joker specifically, we wanted to have a good time and make it this fun adventure, but we also wanted to maintain the heart of the story, which is these two kids who are trying to find out who their dad was and reconcile all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, as long as you hold on to that center character point, yep. And that is your driving, that element is your driving inspiration to keep the story going. I think, you know, you can trap all the silly stuff onto it as much as you want, as long as that's your center focus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I guess I didn't want to take too much more of your time though, Clay. So April 4th is the announcement, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. And then it's dropping when again?
The 16th, April 16th.
It's, you know, I just realized because you texted me this, and so too, I just realized it literally drops on my birthday.
Oh, hey. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you, man. I'll take it as an early birthday present. But
you
yeah,
did that on purpose.
I swear to God, did not, because I'm going to be out of town. So all of the stuff's going to be pre-dropped. Like, it's going to be ready to go because I am going to, and the wife are going to mountain stuff. So we're going hiking through the mountains because, we like to go hiking. That's our thing. Like, I may be a big nerd, but we like nature.
That's great, man. You got to get out of the house. Do you still work in the park service? Were you doing that for a while?
Somewhat did some park service stuff. So like, currently I do, I don't want to say where, I've had like stalker issues recently, so I don't want to say where exactly. Oh. Yeah, that's been a thing.
Please, don't.
But I still work with animals, so at least I won't say where, but like I work at a shelter, and then also do the wife and I do a pet sitting business as well. But there was like zoos I was working at. I was an animal cop for a while too, so it's just really getting out there and enjoying stuff, especially after doing a few years of criminal investigations. Yeah, after that I was like, yeah, I'm going to go hiking.
Really?
Yeah, that was the thing.
Criminal investigations.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever talked about it too much on the podcast. I don't do it anymore, so I can. I think legally I can say stuff now, on record. I think I can, like off record, I'll say whatever.
Let's get some people released from jail. Let's blow.
They're known. It's all animal. It was all animal crime stuff. So like some people are in jail, but
sure.
It was like I worked for the Humane Society. I think I still have like. I didn't get a badge, but like I got some stuff somewhere of it. But looking around the office real quick in it. But I was a EAMT, emergency animal medical technicians, and I did ambulance calls. So like if like a dog got shot or hit by a car or something like that too, I'd go out in my ambulance and do that. Rescue from like rooftops or trees or anything, or drains, and then also like criminal investigations. So like I would do stuff for like abuse and a lot. So I just say. We'll just say that. Yeah, there was a few years of that. But, and I was like, you know,
Law
I'm...
and Order, Law and Order Pet VU over here.
It, you know what? You joke. There was a TV show on my job. Actually, it was on Animal Planet. It lasted. I worked with a few of the people who are still on the team. And they're it was Andy. Shout out to Andy. Shout out to Cynthia. Andy's a giant comic book nerd. He's got like a giant sleeve of like DC heroes and stuff like that too.
Excellent.
And he's like, you write comic books? I'm like, yeah. He's like, what the fuck are you doing here? I'm like, I like animals. This is a whole thing. But yeah, man. Yeah, if you ever want to shoot the shit on that, say if you ever come to Phoenix Comic Con, or grab a couple beers if you want to hear anything.
Absolutely. That would be great. Yeah. And, you know, just to throw it out there too. I know it's clunky to be like, all right, what you want to do is you want to go to Amazon. And you want to type in Hardstyle Juice and look at it, but like that's clunky. So what you want to do is you want to go to hardstylejuice.com, and that when the book comes out, right now it's a landing page where you can sign up for an email list, and you'll know when the book drops. And if you're listening to this after the 16th, hardstylejuice.com will direct you straight to the Amazon page. So hopefully just a couple clicks and you can have the book on your phone or your tablet or your what have you.
You're a man who knows his business. I like it. You're like, you know, listen.
I'm trying to getting it into people's hands is sometimes mm-hmm. the hardest part of the business, you know?
Yeah.
So when it comes to stuff like this, you just got to kind of think about, like, all right, what's the shortest? I know myself, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that if I have to do more than like click a couple buttons, I'm probably not going to do it. And I think most people are like that when it comes to internet stuff and all that kind of stuff. So trying to make it as easy as possible. I think Amazon Prime, if you have Prime, I think you have access to, I forget how all that stuff works.
Yeah, I think if I remember right, yeah. Yeah, Comixology was one through Amazon, so it's easy peasy to sign in with your Amazon there. Yeah. I was trying it out the other day, just so I can read comics while, you know, doing stuff. Yeah, so it's definitely, there's that. Where can people find you out on social media, man, and keep in touch with everything too?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram more often than I am on Twitter. I refuse to call it X.
I call it XXX.
Yeah, there you go. It's getting there. My handle on both sites is cmccormick414, and if you search my name, it should come up. Clay McCormick, it should come up pretty soon. But I most of my stuff I do on Instagram these days.
Yeah, which makes sense. Yeah, Instagram's still the business card of the industry, I think. That's my opinion on it. I was told that by a few people, and they're like, yeah, just keep using that. You got the cesspool of Facebook, Twitter, and its whole thing, and then Instagram still is a little bit okay. But my Instagram may be a business card, but if I scroll over the reels, I see a lot of people dying on videos. So I still don't know. Still don't know what that's about. I was like, okay.
Click on more dog videos. Get a clear algorithm a little bit.
The algorithm's heard a lot of stuff about dogs. I don't want any of that.
That's true.
It's heard a lot of shit. But Clay, thank you, man, for coming on to the podcast. I'll let you know when everything drops. And yeah, if you want to come back on to talk more about Hot Style Juice, like, just let me know. And there's so much more about wrestling I want to talk about. But like I said, I don't want to take too much more of your
time.
Like,
the last issue should come out in, what are we, April, May? May, June, July, August, September. Like September-ish, I think.
Oh, shoot.
So
okay.
If you want to chat once the whole story's out, we can kind of just talk about whatever.
Yeah, I can be like, Clay, why did you do this? You had to kill this person. I love this person, and you killed him. Or be like, this was intense.
Hey, all those reactions is what I'm going for.
I love it, man. I love it. All right. Well, Clay, you enjoy the rest of your day, man. And again, thank you for coming on, man. It's always a blast talking to you.
Yeah, thank you. Enjoyed it. Look forward to the next time.
Sweet. Have a good one, man.
You too. Bye.